Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 898. Oh my gosh. That's a nice symmetry to it.
It does have 898. That's a lot of episodes.
Almost 900 episodes, Katie.
Oh my God.
Almost 900 episodes. I think we'd be close to 1,000 now if we had stayed doing three episodes a week.
We'd be over, right?
Maybe.
I can't do math at all, but I'm going to assume that we'd be over.
Well, this episode is brought to you by Dr. Katz, the Audiophiles, which is back with the original cast, including Jonathan Katz, Laura Silverman, H. John Benjamin. It's now a free premium podcast at audible.com/Dr. Katz. 15 guest pages, including Sarah Silverman, Ted Danson, Ray Romano, Weird Al, Kristen Shaw, Bamford, Paul F. Tompkins, Pete Holmes, some gentleman by the name of John Hamm with two M's, and they do 15-minute sessions with Dr. Katz. So it's free antidepressants in your ears on Dr. Katz, the audio files, exclusively now at audible.com/Dr. Katz, K-A-T-Z. What do you have on the Nerdist Community Cork Board?
Porter's Thumb on Reddit, that's his Reddit username, wrote, I want to promote my wife and her beautiful work. She makes lovely papier-mâché birds out of shredded documents for immigrants that are processed at the law office she works at in Northern California. They are super special, and all the profits, they donate all the profits from their sales to Amnesty USA. So you can, and they're really beautiful. I went to the website and they're gorgeous. And she makes them like just out of like recycled
amazing
papers. And yeah, you can go to mayflowersboutique.com and check them out or buy them. And then Angela writes, my brother-in-law, Eric Mee, has created his own comic strip called Skull. Eric is a hardworking father of three and has taken his love and art of comic books to make a thing and created his own daily comic strip. Skull is a daily comic about the reluctant leader of a global criminal organization known as the Skull Society. It's witty and topical, and it has a great cast of characters, and you can find them at Eric Mee, and that's Eric with a C, and then MEE.com/Skull.
Excellent. Thank you, Katie Levine. Also, I have some stand-up dates coming up. If you're going to be in Minneapolis, I'll be at Acme Comedy, I believe September 28th through 30, I believe. And there's other dates coming up, which... See, I'll be at the American Comedy Company in San Diego. I think I have some dates in Tacoma coming up. And I think I'm going to do Phoenix next year. Anyway, I got to post those somewhere, Katie.
I really need
to post my dates. Maybe I'll put them on my Facebook page. Facebook.com/Hardwick. Check that out. But now check this out. Andrea Savage, legitimately one of the funniest human beings I know. One of the funniest people I know. Just some backstory. Andrea and I dated in the early 2000s and we're still dear friends and I adore her. And she has a show called I'm Sorry, which she stars in and created and wrote. And the season finale is September 6th at 10 p.m. on True TV. Full episodes are truetv.com. But Andrea is so fucking funny. And it's I love having
this
her
This is
on.
One of the funniest episodes we've done in a while.
I mean,
this was amazing.
She's one of those people that just makes you funnier because she's so funny. I love hanging out with her. This episode of the podcast also brought to you by Blue Apron, which is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. For less than $10 a meal, They're going to deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients right to your door. My mom uses Blue Apron, loves it.
It's so convenient. You come home and you have this food and it's quick and
well, if you like to cook and you don't want to do a meal service where everything's pre-made and it kind of gets all ratty.
And it creates less waste because they give you the exact proportions.
That's exactly right. And the ingredients are fresh. The ingredients are great. They're flexible. You can customize your recipes each week, choose a delivery option that fits your need. And their freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient arrives ready to cook or they will make it right. So some upcoming meals, basil pesto chicken with summer vegetables, panzanella, sauteed shrimp green beans with globe tomato, spinach, and orzo pasta, whole grain pasta, summer vegetables with heirloom tomato caprese salad. So check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with shipping by going to blueapron.com/nerdist. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes and create these incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/nerdist, a better way to cook. Thanks to Blue Apron. Thanks to Andrea Savage for being this guest on Nerdist Podcast number 898, where Katie will now roll the thing.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
That's the problem. I can't go longer, and I'm missing my daughter's first day of third grade. My husband clearly didn't care. He was like, "She'll be fine."
It's the first day of third grade. That big of a
no. I've been gone a lot though this year. So
were you gonna do you go and like stand in the back and go, "Aha"?
Well, it's the day she finds out like what teacher she has, and my daughter gets nervous.
And what house she's getting sorted into?
She already knows that.
Which one is she?
Gryffindor.
What?
By the way. My daughter is obsessed with Harry Potter. Like,
rightfully so.
She's eight. She's read every Harry Potter book. She started when she was five. And literally, like, obsessed. She's been sorted no less than 40 times.
And
she constantly
Gryffindor?
Sorts herself once in a while off. I think she purposely answers the questions to get. She knows what's going to lead her into Gryffindor.
Do you know what that makes her? A Slytherin.
By the way, I was when I did the Pottermore, I was put in Slytherin.
That totally tracks.
No.
Yes, it
no,
does.
It doesn't. No, No. It was horrible. I did it again under another email. And then I got Gryffindor because I was like, I refuse.
That's a Slytherin move.
I refuse. No. No.
All right.
No.
Listen, you can say that, but I feel like it's not wrong the first time it sorts
well,
you.
What are you?
I'm a Hufflepuff. Ravenclaw. Ravenclaw.
You're
how dare you?
You are so Hufflepuff.
I am a Ravenclaw. No, how dare you?
No, you're a Hufflepuff.
I am not.
Through and through.
The Hufflepuffs are derp derps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a fucking badger.
Like, by the way, I would rather be a Slytherin than a Hufflepuff.
I think we both agree on that. The poor Hufflepuffs. The Hufflepuffs living going, hey.
Hey, we don't murder people.
Hey,
we're
come
just
on.
Nice people.
We're just friendly. We're friendly. We're your buddy.
Yeah.
Like Hufflepuffs are your buddy.
But it's been really fun because she is deep, deep in. And I mean, knows everything. Like, obsessed with it. Had two Harry Potter birthday parties. Has been a Gryffindor twice for Halloween. Like, she's deep in.
That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. And I read the books growing up. Well, not actually. I think I read them while we were together. I think that's
yeah.
I
that
them.
Was right around that,
that was
time.
Right around. Yeah. And then I liked them, but I wasn't like.
For those listening, that would be 2002 to 2003.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That for those listening and
just
those
wanted to
in
remind
the room,
you.
I don't know what
your personal history was.
Can you go through everyone that I would love that, by the way.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jamie Kaler is here.
That would be alarming. No, not Jamie Kaler. I just saw him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he actually is. He was on two episodes of my show.
Oh,
and
that's
then
fantastic.
I did his podcast. Yeah, yeah. No, Jamie's not. Alarming if it was a stream of just.
Right. Hey, it's me. How you doing? I don't know why it's a bunch of stereotypes.
No, I don't think I've ever dated anyone that sounded like that.
Have you still not remembered the bit that I tried to remind you of the last time you were on?
Where we say the thing. Well,
someone asked us where we were.
I remember it. I just couldn't execute it anymore.
Someone asked us where we were, and then you and I both just say the first thing
right.
that comes to our mind.
And then we flip it.
And then we flip it, and then we combine it at the end. It's the sitcom
okay. yeah, yeah.
cover
the bad up. Sitcom cover.
Yeah, so Katie, ask us where we were.
Where were you guys?
I was at the
toy
dog
store.
Park. the dog toy store. Park. I was at the dog toy store.
Toy place where you get the dog sex toys.
Yeah, see, it totally works.
It doesn't. It doesn't work. I mean, it works.
If you want to use that on your program.
Oh, okay.
I feel like your show, though, you wouldn't do the bit. It would be the talking about doing the bit.
Yes, it would talk about, or we'd do the bit and then I'd shit on the bit.
You'd totally shit. That's yeah, you'd shit on
it. Yeah, I'd be like, you feel good about yourself?
Is your daughter playing your daughter?
No. No.
Not at all.
I mean, is it the same human being?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
I know you've never met my daughter.
No, I haven't.
And there's some confusion, but no, that is Olive Petrucci. She's younger than my daughter, and yeah.
And you got her to say the word pussy in the first.
She doesn't say pussy.
What does she say?
She says tushy.
Oh, I swear to God.
I know. This has been the bane of my existence, and I'm glad you brought it up because, I mean, this pilot, of course, like every pilot, tested within an inch of its life. Nobody ever thought it sounded like pussy. It's mommy. I forget, does a baby come out of your tushy or your vagina? I would never have a child say pussy. By the way, one, because that's bad. Also, I don't think it's funny.
By the way, I didn't even flinch. I thought that's...
No! What?
I thought the joke was...
No!
Is the daughter saying, is it... Do you call
First
it...
First of all, I don't find that even funny.
Okay, so I don't... Listen, I'm not saying...
No, it's tushy because my daughter for like 2 years.
I'm laughing at you being upset about it.
Well, because, by the way, also all of Petrucci's mom, because none of us saw this coming.
Tushy.
It was screams, like it was at, like
gotcha,
all this stuff,
gotcha,
and
gotcha.
No one ever said it. And then somehow it sounded like it a little bit. And so, like, all of Petrucci's mom was like, oh, God.
So I'm
like
not the only mom. One that
you
heard
are not
that.
The only
okay,
one.
Great.
It hasn't been a ton of people, but enough people for me to be like, one, I would never have a child say
okay,
that.
Good, good. Okay, good.
And two, for the first line of my show, I would think of something more clever. No, because my daughter, for like a year, when she was that age, just kept forgetting if a baby comes out of your tushy or vagina, which
sure.
just made me laugh.
That's hilarious.
And just be like, ah, mommy, I forget. Which is it? Tushy or vagina? Just
that's
like
so
constantly.
Funny.
And I was like, I feel like this should be more innately clear. Or you ask once and it's
and you got it. Yeah.
But no.
She might still, like when she goes to have kids in 20 years or something, go, I can't remember. Is it?
Is it? Well, by the way, and I just talked about this with Jamie Gaylor because he is guilty of this. There are people who tell their kids that they have a front tushy and a back tushy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I do not subscribe to this.
No.
I feel like you're asking for so much confusion later.
So
in life.
Much
when
confusion.
Someone's like, can I put this in your butt? And you're like, front butt, back butt, which butt? Like,
I'm lousy with butts over here.
I got butts for days. I got butts for days.
Pick a butt, any butt.
But not that butt.
Not
There's
that
one butt.
Yep.
There's one butt you can't have.
Also, two totally different structures.
Everything about it is
and
weird.
I feel like it creates a...
He admits it comes from just not wanting to address the situation. And I was like, you need to get in there now.
I guess does it make more sense to say you have a front butt and a back butt as opposed to a front vagina and a back vagina? I guess that doesn't really...
I feel like I have a back vagina. By the way, I'm going to start using that. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's so upsetting.
It really is. You write all this down. Use this for your program.
Use this for your program.
Use this for your program. Andrea, were you leaving for Italy today?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh
in like
God.
Mere hours.
Andrea Savage has come by my house to record this podcast on the way to a destination wedding.
Yeah, in Italy.
That someone is... I know... Listen, I'm sure... And you said you had a destination wedding, but it was in Mexico, so it was a little more accessible.
It was a two-hour flight.
Yeah.
Once you got there, you were there. It wasn't like a then seven-hour drive. By the way, I love them when I get there. I really do.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm like, are you serious?
Well, you're... Yes, you're essentially going to... The Italy to the coast for.
I am going
days.
To the Italy.
To
I am
the,
going
you're going
to the
Italy.
That's what they call it. The Italy.
That's for just a couple of days,
for
which
a
is
days.
Which is a lot of travel for a couple of days.
Again, can't really complain.
No. Yes,
but
these are luxury problems.
These are luxury problems. But yeah, I am. It is a little bit of just like, oh wow, this is a lot.
Yeah,
I have to really love this person. I do. But and it's going to be gorgeous when I get there. But. It's a plane and then another plane and then a drive and a thing.
I feel bad because I'm almost a little resentful, and this is just a very selfish point of view. I'm almost a little resentful of destination weddings because I kind of feel like, come on, guys. You really couldn't just do this a little bit close. I mean,
where
I
did
get
you get
it.
Married?
We got married at the Langham in Pasadena.
Oh, well, that's convenient.
It is.
Okay, don't get on your high horse. Like,
I can't hear you from up here. My horse is very high. I can't hear you from up here. It's a totally different zip code.
You know that's not a horse, right?
What?
Well, that was very, very gracious of you. You're an amazing person, well, Chris. You win best person of the decade.
Finally!
Because you got married in Pasadena. Oh. Nobody had to travel from out of town.
You know what? That's a difference. It's easy to get
true.
To Los Angeles. It's a hub city.
Pasadena, that was a little further.
Okay, all right. Compare driving 45 minutes to, yeah. through traffic.
Yeah.
All right, we're monsters. We're fucking monsters. Is that what you want?
Yeah, listen, I'm just a very innocent woman with a back vagina trying to live my life, okay? Listen, who's headed off to Italy? I think vagina, back of vagina.
I don't know what this attitude is all about. I don't know what kind of butt period you got going on over there.
Oh, the worst. Ugh, I just started my butt period.
Oh, you're a woman now.
Oh, congratulations. This is great. It's late in life that one gets it.
Yeah, that's the distinction.
That's the distinction. Yeah,
emphasis on the stink.
Oh boy. I have to go. I just realized I just got a text from American that my flight is earlier than anticipated.
American's leaving earlier to get you out of the spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I just got a personal text from the president of American Airlines.
Wow, that's crazy. What's his name?
You're not the only fancy person who has fancy people, Chris.
I don't know the president of American Airlines.
Well, there you go.
So, good for you.
Thank you. Very good for you.
Now everyone knows that you're going to fly American Airlines to Italy.
Oh,
so it's very easy
great.
To stalk you.
Oh, great. Oh, no one's interested in stalking me. I mean, the show is doing quite well, but not. It's
but you're not,
still
you're,
true
not
TV.
You're not into the stalk.
Yeah.
You're not in stalking territory.
Yeah. Well, light sort of sexual assault. To, you know, social media, but that's about where it starts.
I mean, social media is not. Are you super active on social media?
I have become. I am not naturally inclined to do it.
The True TV say, you really need to promote your show.
Yeah, in that weird voice.
Yeah. Hey,
they all speak
hey,
like that.
You need to promote your show when you're going to the Italy.
When you're going to the program. You got
to
promote
the program.
Your program.
The kids need to
it was encouraged. It was encouraged. And I also knew that I had to also step. I mean, I'm a reasonably intelligent person that knew I needed to step up because I really just didn't do anything. So I have been doing quite a bit. I don't know how long I will be able to keep it up.
It is a little bit of an energy suck. Yeah.
And I don't like to post anything. I don't post anything of my personal family, really, for the most part. So it's hard, you know, so I don't want to only be posting stuff about the show over and over and over.
Sure.
But I got a lot of, like, extended scenes, improv scenes, bonus scenes that I post.
So you don't, you wouldn't, like, post a picture of your...
daughter's front vagina?
Jesus Christ!
I would not, Chris. Thank you for asking, though.
I didn't ask that at all.
You weird
that
you asked that.
I 100% did not ask that at all.
It is weird. Honestly,
anyone
I'm uncomfortable.
Anyone reviewing this podcast could rewind it. Rewind and hear that I did not say that.
I think the
I was even concerned. I was even concerned about the joke I was going to make, and yours was like a million times worse.
What was yours?
Mine was just going to say like, oh, a picture of my daughter in front of her school. You know, like just something.
Just that was not a great joke.
Thanks for taking the wind. Thanks for taking the offensive wind,
Chris,
out of my sails.
I forget that how much fun we have.
And we do
You're
not
a great
live,
person.
We do not live that far away from each other.
I literally now I've moved. I live very close.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
You moved out of the one area and moved over
yep,
to this area.
And moved
area.
Into the other one area.
That's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. So we're even closer now.
Well, there's no reason.
And
that
my
you
therapist
come over.
Lives. She works out of her home.
Fucking need your life story. Oh
she
wait,
lives
I do. It's
very
a podcast.
Close to
I do
you.
Actually.
Yeah.
I do.
All right, we'll only talk politics.
No.
Yeah, now that's what we're doing. No. She lives very close.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm here maybe once every couple weeks.
You should come by. If you and the Hubs should come by for a dinner at some point. I promise not to do that
voice. I was going to say.
I promise not to do that voice if you come over for dinner sometime. All right. Sometime.
All right. You see, well, I don't know. I'm skeptical.
I wish you could see the look on your face.
It's not great.
It is a very much, it's a very who farted look.
I feel like what you just said was the equivalent.
The equivalent. It was the verbal who farted.
It was the verbal who farted.
Yeah, it was who farted with words.
Yeah.
What are you, doing with, now that you're done, I assume you're done with the show.
Almost done. Yes, almost done with the season. We've been picked up for another season. So
congratulations.
Thank you very much. So I'm already, you know, got that call and the euphoria was maybe 6 to 7 seconds until the panic immediately set in. I gotta do this again. I have to write a whole nother. Oh God, I've told every story that I have.
Honey, do something funny. I'm not gonna say your daughter's name.
Yeah.
Daughter, do a thing. Mommy needs jokes.
Material.
Please.
I will say it is daunting because this season I did come in with like 30 to 40 stories and I think I used almost every single one of them in the 10 episodes. And so I truly am having a little bit of, oh God, I don't know. And I did have writers, great writers, who I would pitch stories and then they'd come in with their ideas from the things and then the shows would come out from there. But it is the couple times we tried to break a story from scratch, they felt different. They felt jokey or sitcom-y. Like they didn't feel as organic as the other stories.
Oh, right, because they're not based on
Based on real. Like I think that's why the show, like, it's not predictable. You don't see what's coming is because a lot of it is truly real.
Right.
All the characters are based on real people. All the things, just even like the next door neighbor has this weird. I think you will appreciate this. When you're in a bit with somebody that's not even a bit, but it's the only thing they ever say to you. And I used to have this neighbor when I lived in this apartment building who only wore shorts. And I didn't even know this, but I commented one day. I was like, you're always wearing shorts. And he was like, yep, shorts. And then for 2 years, our only interaction was when I would see him and he'd go, shorts again. And then I started, no joke, like I'd be about to walk out of my apartment. I'd see him and I would tuck back in. And I would, like, pretend I was on the phone. Like, I was like, this is – I'm a captive in my own
– Can I pitch you a joke?
Yeah.
Okay. You crack the door open. You see him kind of coming out. He doesn't see you yet. There he is in his shorts. You slowly close your door. And then from the reverse angle, you just see your hand come out with a pair of pants. And you just chuck it at him. And then slam the door really fast to just end the shorts of it all.
Well, I'm not going to tell you. It does end in the season. And I won't say how it does because I think it ends tomorrow. That gets wrapped up. But yeah, so just like even weird little things like that or things that were just cold opens. So I am a little bit in a panic of what I'm going to do next time.
My ear, nose, and throat doctor, not to brag.
How often do you go?
Seven times a year. Am I dying? What is this? He has literally the same joke for, 10 years I've been going to this guy. When he cleans out the wax on my ears, literally every time. Oh, I think we're going to find Jimmy Hoffa in there. Ooh, every time. Ooh. And I love him. He's the sweetest.
Oh, of course.
But I...
that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, but luckily you only have to see him once a year.
I mean...
Shorts was almost on a daily basis. Yeah, this was... It became a thing where I felt like I was captive in my own home.
When I worked at Nickelodeon, there was a security guard there who was an elderly security guard, and I was working on a show called The X's, and I think right around the time that you and I were a thing, and he... Every time we go in, I would talk to him and he'd go, hey, and he never remembered me.
Oh, that's fun.
And I was there weekly. And I'd come through the gate and he'd go, hey, what are you here for? And I go, oh, I'm working on the X's every time. All of mine live in Texas.
Why is it that I just want to do this with everyone I know?
Just find what their
just
one recurring bit is.
Just have that one bit. Yeah. I mean, I do on a one level just because it makes me laugh. But then also when you're in it. It's not even a bit. Like, shorts wasn't even a bit that I could even respond to. Well, it just was, shorts again!
He finally stopped doing it.
Okay.
Because he died.
Okay. Well, I hope my shorts is alive somewhere.
Well, maybe. Hopefully.
I hope. Steve Zizis. Do you know Steve Zizis? From Togetherness and stuff.
He plays not a real name.
Yes, it is. He's a hilarious, a real name. Great person.
It sounds like
Steve Zizis.
It sounds like either a play on Steve Zissou or the town Zizix that you...
Oh, the Zizix on the way to Vegas.
On the way to Vegas, yeah.
Neither.
Okay.
Neither. He's a very funny actor. He's shorts. But yeah, the guy in my apartment building would be like, it's raining, still got my shorts. Like, it was just like, ah! Yeah. So we'll see, but I'm very excited. I'm going to try to take a little time off and try to like live my life and get some stories for like a month or two.
I'm going to pitch you another. I'm just going to pitch you ideas and you can shoot them all down.
Great.
This next season, and this will take some pressure off you.
Yeah.
Just do an entire, unless it ends, do an entire origin story of Shorts Guy. Just follow Shorts Guy and find out.
That would be an amazing thing to do. Unfortunately, the style of this show, which now I am somewhat regretting, is one of those single point of view shows where I am in every single scene and there's never anything like
it's just because I suggested it, isn't it?
Well, it's shit. My point is that's a terrible, terrible pitch. No. I don't know another way to say it. No, I would love to do that. I'm sort of trapped myself in this like very like I can't even – my husband can't even have like a scene – separate, like it's all
right.
That kind of, because it's almost like mockumentary, almost to right. That. Like it's but I would love to do that. We're gonna try to explore like different ways we can kind of branch out and that kind of stuff.
Because I know you've created shows before, but how is this one?
Well, this one's gone. I mean, this one was made.
Yeah, okay.
So that's his biggest difference.
That's a big difference. But you've made other shows before.
I think I've developed like 6 or 7 other shows. I've never had a show that I created actually go to series. So it was incredibly different. It was so much work, because it's like all told through sort of my voice and my point of view, like really every single step of the way from every script, we room wrote everything.
Oh, cool.
And then so it was all coming, through everybody and then filtered back through me and then I would kind of do the end rewrites and that kind of stuff. And so the writer's room had to end and then I producing it and, just running a set and being in charge of that many people and being in every scene and casting and locations and set design. And I mean, it was just sort of endless, just like the endless jobs.
Yeah.
And then not until production was over did we start post. And then I was there for every frame and everything.
I have a confession to make.
Oh, God.
I don't think that guy died. I just said that.
Appreciate you telling me that.
Yeah,
I feel like that continues our bond.
Good.
I
just needed to be open with you. At this point, I don't know. It was a long time ago.
And he was old, you said.
He was, but I don't know. I just I just needed to come clean about that. I think I was.
And I appreciate that.
I just didn't know how to get out of it.
I'm trying to think if I have
how to get out of the bit otherwise.
About.
Didn't know how to get out of it. Shorts guy still okay?
I don't know. I moved, but he wasn't old, so I feel like he's probably fine unless something unfortunate happened to him in some capacity.
And they buried him in shorts.
By the way, if he is dead, I hope he's in shorts.
I mean...
He loved his shorts.
Listen.
They were usually corduroy.
Oh.
Which we do not have on the show.
That's
but
odd.
Yeah, they were like corduroy. Not like super short, but like... A shorter side for a man, okay. Like a quarter. You know what I mean? Not like booty shorts or something, but like
more of an eighth-a-roy. Hey, that's a Blaine Kapatch joke. Do you know Blaine?
I know Blaine.
The best.
Blaine's
the best.
Awesome.
Blaine would have sold that joke.
He would have.
Blaine would have made that joke work.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Blaine's not here, so.
Let's get him on the phone.
I'm super proud of it. True TV has been. So fucking amazing to work with. We have no studio, so it's just like me right to like the heads of True TV. Their notes have been good, which is crazy, and limited. They have let me do the exact show I want to do top to bottom. Like the show that was in my head is 100% on the screen.
That's fantastic.
And my producers and my showrunner, Joey Slayman, never worked with her before, a lady named Joey, on her birth certificate, Joey.
Well, I'm not upset about it.
No,
I don't know why
that.
That thing's perfectly reasonable.
Well, because I always was like... Thought her name was like Josephine or something.
Right.
But it's not.
It's just Joey.
It's just Joey.
Totally reasonable.
Joey Slayman.
Joey Slayman.
I also thought her name was Slammin', which is one of the reasons why I hired her. Because I was like, Joey Slammin'? You can't go wrong with that. And then like after I heard it, she's like, it's actually Slayman. And I was like, well.
You're fired. I'm sorry. Get a cooler name.
Yeah. Get a cooler name. Call me late.
Get a more aggressive name. I need you to have a more aggressive surname.
More aggressive. So it's been kind of great. And I've gotten to talk about... You know, it's sort of like my version of like a darker, twisted family show. So we Like, my favorite scene of the whole series is in real life, my husband and I went to therapy, and I wasn't there one day, and the therapist had told him that me being an alpha female, I may have some sort of rape fantasy.
What?
So we didn't go to this person after this.
That's probably a good time
to peace out.
Did you... Oh, what was the Rob Thomas show you did?
Significant Others.
Significant Others.
It's, yeah, I mean...
I mean, not in style, but just in, when you said therapy...
Oh, yeah.
I just...
Well, that show was, like, all, mostly in therapy.
And mostly improvised, too,
That
right?
was, that show was a fully improvised show. Yeah, right. I mean, it had outlines and that kind of stuff, but fully improvised. This is fully scripted, and then we do some improv. Jason Mantzoukas is on it. We always go off the rails. Judy Greer's on it. Gary Anthony Williams and all these great... Nick Kroll, Paul Sheehan, like, all my friends came and did it. Lizzie Kaplan, Alison Tolman.
Shit.
Yeah. Steve Zissou.
Not a person.
Yes. A great, great person that you should know.
Not buying it.
Judith Light's on it. June Squibb. I mean, the cast is insane.
I feel like the Sunday Company training is probably... the best training for this type of thing, where just for people who don't know,
at the Groundlings,
Sunday Company, you have to write a brand new show and put it up every week, a new show.
Yeah, that is 100%. I think where I learned to write and to learn to write under pressure, and that you just have to do it, and even when you don't think you have an idea, you probably do, and you have just forced to do it. That was sketch comedy writing, which now I look back and I go, that was not the best fit for me. In terms of the big scenes where I had to do, like, characters and wigs and all of that stuff. And my favorite scenes where I was kind of playing a version of myself and, like, just writing a more grounded comedy. And that's where I think I started realizing that part. But, yeah, that's definitely where I started writing, 100%.
So there's not a lot of scenes in I'm Sorry where you come in, like, in a crazy flow from Alice wig.
Yeah. No. Most cold opens and tags. Just the cold opens and tags.
What if True TV was like, next season, more big characters. More flow type characters.
More flow?
Not Stephanie Courtney.
I was going to say Stephanie Courtney?
No. Now,
also
now she,
Groundlings.
Also Groundlings. Also brilliant, brilliant comedian.
Great.
It's kind of interesting now that Stephanie Courtney is the, she's the flow.
She's the flow of this generation. Our flow was
Our
Kiss
flow
My Grits.
Polly Holiday.
Yeah, Polly Holiday.
And
yeah.
Today's flow is Stephanie Courtney.
Yeah. And then also, I just started my first butt flow today, so it's like. Remember?
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 Perfect callback. Remember?
Remember?
You know, remember before when we were talking about the butt periods? Anyhow, I'm Joey Slammin'.
I wish Joey talked like that.
Doesn't talk like that at all. No. Also a woman.
Also a woman, so it'd really be very weird if she spoke like that, and also delightful.
What do you pack for 4 days in Italy?
Well, let's see. There's a lot of events this wedding. So
no carry-on. You actually have to check a bag.
I actually have to check a bag, which really bummed me out because I am sort of one of those people that's like, I find it a challenge to... I'm like, I am only going carry-on. I will do anything to keep it only carry-on.
Yeah.
It's Italian summer wedding. So some dresses, you know.
Are you going to show up to the wedding? I'm sure there's going to be a series of fun comedic mishaps. And then you crawl through the bushes at the very end after having had to hitchhike and swim in your dress. And then you get to the wedding and there's like leaves in your hair and dirt on your face while Taylor Swift's Look What You Just Made Me Do plays. And then I imagine life is always a comedy sketch, right?
Well, by the way, this is the opening scene now of season 2.
That's how
it's going to open.
Yeah.
Season 2 of I'm Sorry.
So you start there, and then you go back in time to tell the story of how
you got there.
To tell
the story of Shorts, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Aziz Ansari, his show went to Italy in the second season, so he kind of took that. You know what I mean, Dick?
So he just like owns Italy now.
Yeah, he owns Italy
now.
I
don't know if that Just because one guy.
No, he's a dick.
Oh, God. Wow.
Yeah.
The gloves come up. Wow.
Sadly, I do like him.
But you're just mad that he stuck the Italy thing from you.
Before I even had the Italy thing.
Yeah.
It's not even, I couldn't even, I have no leg to stand on.
Are you following all of the intense molecular dissections of the Taylor Swift song? Or is that outside your radar?
I know that the song came out. I know because my daughter is a fan of Taylor Swift to a point, although she's like, she's always singing about boys who don't like her. And I'm like, yep, this is why, you know. And I get in my daughter's ear. I get weirdly, like, always in her ear of, yeah. like, you know, of just like, well, you know, it would be probably better if she was maybe writing about her friendships.
Yeah,
you know? And like the thing, you know what I mean? So annoying. I'm that annoying mom.
But I think that's a very valid point. I've just been fascinated by the thing because.
Wait, what are they saying? Because we listened to it and I played it for my daughter and she was like, wasn't impressed.
Yeah.
Didn't sound like even her voice. I was just like.
My only thing, and listen, I don't want to start a Twitter war with anyone over this.
I didn't realize this was big news.
Just my opinion, but I just think good art shouldn't tell you what to think about it.
Yes.
Like, a good artist shouldn't go, I'm different now. Do you see how different I am? Look how different I am. I'm different. That old one's dead, but I'm the new one. Like,
art show, don't tell.
Exactly. Art should just, it should just demonstrate that. Like, I
didn't listen closely enough to it to even fully remember. Like,
I mean, I don't think every time Madonna changed to, like, did a new album, she was like, look at my hair. Look at my shoes. I'm so different, you guys. Like, I don't know. I just think I sort of feel like,
is that what this song was?
Okay.
I mean, I literally didn't listen to it that closely. I'm not going to lie.
It's pretty, and maybe I'm missing, because there have been a lot of dissections about this song, more than I think it really needs.
I was going to say, why are people spending so much time on this?
Because people are bored, and there's a demand for content, so people feel like they need to write a 2,000 word. Jesus. We're in the era of, I'm going to have to weigh in on this. Like, that's what everyone.
No, don't weigh in. Not interested.
Don't weigh in.
Which is, I think, my reason why I'm not in why it's hard for me to do social media. Because I sit there and I go, I don't care what you think, so why should anyone hear what I think? It feels so narcissistic and like, who cares?
Yes.
I just
find it interesting to see like that machine go to work and like, here's all the hidden messages in this song. Like,
hidden messages?
I feel like it's pretty.
Did she write the song?
Pretty on the nose. I don't know.
I mean, that's the other thing. Is she just singing something that someone else wrote that has nothing to do with her?
I have no idea, actually. I have no idea.
I just felt like it sounded very produced, and I was like, oh, it doesn't sound... It sounded like five other artists that I was like, that could be Meghan Trainor, that could be blah, blah, blah.
I listened to the song, like, in the back of my head, I was like, you're in your late 20s, right?
Is she? I don't even know.
Isn't she? Yeah.
Taylor Swift is late 20s?
Yeah.
I feel like mid.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's probably late 20s, because it's always where I'm like, no, they're so young, and then they're not, and then I'm like, fuck, I'm old.
Yeah.
That's usually the transition.
I feel like it's a song, like, if you were, like, 17, you wrote, you go, okay, yeah, I get it, that makes sense.
She's 27, okay. Did she write it, though? That's what the other thing.
I don't know.
Can we find it? Because I feel like if she didn't write it, then it's like,
Taylor Swift, I'm going to hear it from the Taylor Swift.
I love that this is what you got your finger on the pulse. Don't you have 17 shows on television?
One of them just went away.
Which one?
At Midnight.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I did see stuff about that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Happy.
I didn't know
if you chose that. I didn't know.
I really do miss the show, but I will say
that was a lot.
It's been nice to have a breather.
Yeah.
Actually see my wife.
That's lovely.
Take some time. We went on a vacation, which was very...
Where'd you go?
We just went to Northern California. We went to the Mount Shasta area.
Oh, nice.
And just, you know, spent some time in the woods.
Did you ever just look at your wife and go, I want to pop, 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 pop. I want to...
Shasta!
I want a thrill, I want it now. We're tasting all I want it now.
I need the second verse. Yeah. I got it after the first verse.
No, you need the second verse. It's all about that second verse. First of all, I think I mangled that second verse because I'm not totally sure what the words are, because I think I said now twice. But it's...
Listen, I want to give you credit for calling yourself out on not nailing the I Want to Pop Shasta song.
She wrote it with Jack Antonoff.
Oh, she wrote it with Jack Antonoff.
He was written on...
I wonder if he wrote them. Well, he probably wouldn't. I don't know if he would write the lyrics, right? Jack would.
They ran together because I know he worked on the last album.
Oh, Jack's a delight.
Oh, so now who feels like a jerk?
Me. Again.
He's a delight. What makes Jack so great?
He's just a really sweet guy. He's
you
just
think
a really.
Everyone's a sweet guy.
Everyone's really nice to me.
Yeah.
I do, you know, like I have a lot of nice.
No, I agree. I feel nice the same friends. Way. People are always like, you think everyone's nice. I'm like, because most people are.
They
nice.
Are. Like, yeah. You know, I don't know what it's like to be in a relationship with any of these people. I just know that they're nice in my dealings with
they're
them.
They're able to pull themselves together.
I remember getting shit about that. Like when the podcast first started, because I would always say like, "Oh, so and so comes on and they're nice and they're delightful." And we were like, "You say that with everyone." Like, well, what if they are? Like, no one's been a dick. What do you want me to say? They've all been delightful.
I agree. No, I'm the same way. I get a lot of shit for liking more. And I'm like, why am I getting shit for actually being a positive person who actually likes people?
Yeah, I know.
Like, why is that such a terrible trait?
Because my cone of negativity. If you're not part of it, then everything you feel isn't valid.
Well, or I guess it then feels like it's, I guess it is sort of like if somebody, it does annoy me, like if my husband or like someone where I'm like, how does this look? And it's like, yeah, it looks good. Everything looks good. And you're like, well.
You need some critique.
You need to know direction. That there's some objectivity, that there's some guidelines, that it's like, it's not just blank because then it means nothing.
Well, that's where like really close friends come into play.
Yeah.
And not, I mean.
But do you think if you came out in like a tighter jean than usual or something.
It'd have to be pretty tight.
Yeah, you do wear a tight jean.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. What, a tighter, like a really tight t-shirt?
Just like
that you can see your nipples through.
Okay, so if I did that.
Yeah.
Then what happens?
And you're out with close friends. Do you think that they are like, hey, Chris, can I talk to you for a second? That's actually not a great.
Oh, I don't think it would even be, can I talk to you for a second?
It would just be like, what the fuck's this?
Hey, what's going on over there? Hey, buddy. Okay.
That's great.
Yeah, I absolutely.
Would Lydia say it before you left the house?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Lydia's great because she's really sweet and even keeled and supportive. But if she doesn't like something, she'll just say she doesn't like it.
Great.
So, you know, I do feel like I can get a pretty honest gauge from her if I'm doing something. She'll go, yeah, I don't really know. You know, I'm not.
Like if you're like wearing like tinted sunglasses that you'd wear inside.
Right.
Like you bought
like. I do like to wear tinted sunglasses inside. Yeah. And
but like the ones where
you
can still see through it. It's just light tint.
Oh, those.
Yeah.
Like the yellow tinted glasses.
Like yellow tinted glasses.
You know, if I did that, she'd probably inquire as to what was up. what changed.
By the way, I would love that if she was just like, hey, honey.
Hey, honey, when did you start doing heroin?
Yeah. Or just like, I have a question for you. What's up?
Hey, this is my truth now. You know.
How often does that get thrown at her? This is my truth now.
Never.
Please.
She'd laugh at me.
Good.
She would laugh at me. I'm curious as to how someone raises a child in the toxic environment of the social media era. Like, how do you...
Well, she's too young. I mean, she doesn't have a phone. She doesn't have an iPad.
But like, she will.
She will.
Soon.
Oh, it's terrifying.
I would imagine. And just how many different ways a child can be influenced by how many, you know, so many horrible things.
Oh,
and there's...
Awful. It keeps me up at night. I will not lie. I have not really had to get involved with it yet, but I see friends of mine who have older kids, what it's already happening. I think it just means you have to, sadly, annoyingly, be a more involved parent. And really be like watching what they're doing more than our parents did. And you got to be the other voice in the ear. I think because they're going to be getting it. They're going to be seeing stuff. I think my sort of philosophy is I want to make her feel very confident about herself going, you know, some people are like, oh, that kid thinks they're so great. And I'm like, you can't make your kid be overly confident. Get them as confident as they can because get them as confident as they can till 12 because 12 to 18 – the world is just going to be chipping away at whatever sort of base of confidence you've been able to help them build.
Right.
So build it wide. Build it big.
Yeah.
Make them really feel like they are capable and smart. They make smart choices. Because if they think they make smart choices, they will most likely continue to try to make a smart choice.
How do you feel about participation trophies?
I do not agree with them. I think that there are times, especially a little younger, where I don't think you should get a trophy, but I do think it's encouraged that everybody is working together as a team and that not anyone's going to win or not win. But I do think at a certain point, life is life. And I do think that you need to instill a competitive spirit in your child.
So that they can cope with things that happen.
And that they know that they have to work hard to get things.
Right.
That is something that I feel like the entitlement, like I know, and I take raising my child probably way too seriously in certain instances. But I think you are trying to raise, I think of it as sort of like, you're raised in a weird way, like raising an animal to be able to survive on their own. Like if you were, I don't know, like a kangaroo or something, you raise your child to be able to survive without you.
Right.
Like that's what you're trying to do. And so it doesn't help them for you to coddle them or not give them the spirit to strive and try to achieve things for themselves and
right.
know how hard they have to work because other people will be working hard.
Yeah, I just, yeah.
They need to be able to survive without you. And I feel like a lot of people parent for them to survive living with them for the rest of their lives or whatever it is and not giving them the actual ability to survive without you.
Right.
Because evolution, like, you're going to die at a certain point and they have to live.
And it's
like,
going to be their fault. And you need to let them know that.
Because, yes. I mean, they may murder you or it might just be more sort of
metaphysical. It's a slow process over time.
But I do think, like, and not competitive necessarily against other people, but like a competitive spirit inside, you know, like something, like a drive. That's what it is. Like, I've always been like, how do you instill a drive in a child? That's my
confidence. Yeah, I don't know. I guess you have to figure out what it is that they want, you know? But the idea that there might be a lot of kids growing up who don't understand how, like, the second something isn't the way they want it to be, they just fold in half. Like, well, that's not a that's not a good coping skill because if, you know, if you're in a situation where you need to be able to figure out how to survive, that's not going to be helpful. The world is not always going to give you a safe space.
And very rarely will it.
Right.
So my sort of philosophy is like you want to put them in challenging environments that are, for me, like safely challenging. My daughter's pretty shy in certain things, but I don't push her to go do anything. But I do try to push her a little outside of her comfort zone in very safe environments and picked a school that really encourages individuality and embracing sort of, you know, who being confident in who you are and comfortable and creates a very safe space for you to fail.
Right.
And still feel safe.
Right.
Because otherwise she won't try anything if she thinks she's going to fail.
Right.
She just is like, she's typical firstborn, like wants to just be good at everything. And at the second she's not, I don't want to, no, shut down, shut down.
Right.
So I think part of it is like putting them in environments and part, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'll talk. She might be a fucking maniac. I mean, she could be a serial killer at the end of all of this. This is like a big experiment.
No, I bet you're a good. I bet you guys are good parents.
I think we are.
Because
I actually think we are.
Because your parents were really cool.
My parents were pretty cool. Yeah.
I remember. Yeah. Your parents were really cool. Our moms have the same first two names,
which is very weird.
Sharon Lee.
Sharon Lee.
And yeah.
Wait, didn't they also have the same birthday or no?
When's your mom's birthday?
September 11th.
No. Oh.
I know. Rough. Oof. Mm. My mom's other name is Osama bin Laden.
What?
Yeah. Sharon Lee is
other
her
name?
Well, Sharon Lee is her maiden name.
Okay. And Osama bin Laden was her married name?
It's
your
confusing.
Father's name was...
was Michael
Osama bin Laden.
And then she took it.
But it's all... I know it sounds... not three names. It's all one name. It's all one name.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the way it's written. It's kind of... there's some silent letters in there. It's pronounced like Michael Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, that...
it's lost. I don't know why I thought they had the same birthday, but now I made
no,
that
my mom's
out.
August 9th.
Oh,
she just
I know why.
Birthday.
Because Ward, my stepdad, who passed away, was August 9th. I was like, I knew there was a weird...
right.
I knew there was one of my parents, like somebody who had the same birthday. August
that's
9th.
Right, that's right, that's right. Yeah, I do. I
How
do
is right your now. Mother doing?
She's
I love
doing
your mother.
Very well. She's doing very well.
Good.
She lives in Pasadena.
I think she did.
Yeah, yeah.
She's
kind of bopped around the Pasadena area, but she's...
Can I inquire on her... is she dating? I always like to ask.
She's not dating.
I was going to say, she doesn't care.
She doesn't. You know, she's...
which I love, because my mom's the opposite.
She's very... my mom's incredibly independent.
I love that.
And doesn't take shit from anyone. And I think it just kind of got to a point where she was like... I mean, not to say that Like, yeah. I think a dude, and I would love it if she had a companion that she could hang out. But she also, she doesn't really feel like, to me, like she needs that. So maybe I shouldn't want that for her.
No, but that's the best place to be in. Because if she meets someone, she meets someone. And she can just have them for pure companionship.
She has a zero tolerance for bullshit. I remember, like, years ago, she went on a couple dates with a guy. And then he disappeared. And she didn't hear from him for a while, and then he came back around. He was like, "I'm sorry, I was going through some stuff." And she was like, "And good luck with that."
Great.
She was like, "I'm do not. My father raised me to not need
put up with that."
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So she, I think for her, because you know, dating just sucks. And well, it is like it's very much a trial and error process.
Yeah, 100%.
And she does not feel like, I think she just doesn't feel like going through the trial and error of finding up someone's baggage. And
which by, you know, that part of your life, there's going to be a lot of baggage.
There's Yeah, exactly.
So you have to be like open. You have to be wanting it to put up with it.
But she does have a dog that, the dogs are always a little.
I was going to say, she had dogs back in the day.
She's always had a dog.
Yeah.
Always had a dog. And they're always a little more spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
dog's
always a little more spoiled.
I have a little fantasy that maybe I would be like an old, like, dog lady at
just
some point.
An old dog lady.
Yeah. Just like on my own with my dogs at like
what
70.
About your husband and your child?
Oh, he'll be. Oh, no. Well, I mean, my child will still be alive. I'm divorced. Oh,
okay.
I have a whole episode about how I have a full divorcee fantasy, which is really very true. I truly, and I'm happily married, so it's probably not going to happen. But I really do have these fabulous, like, fantasies of me being a divorcee and just crushing it.
What?
I just feel like I'm meant for it. Don't you think?
I mean, listen, I feel the same. Like, it's great that you're in an amazing relationship, but you always struck me as someone who's like, hey, I could be on my own. I could be in a relationship.
Yeah.
I'm cool either way.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you this the last time you were on the podcast, but from everything I could tell, from having dated you for almost a year and a half, your mental health is very strong. And even to the point where, you know, back then, right when I was about to quit drinking, you had a some tolerance policy, and in the end you were just like, yeah, I don't need this. And it was a very healthy thing to do. It was very healthy for you to go, I don't know what your problem is, but you got a problem and you should probably figure that out. But I'm not gonna be around for it. And that was an incredibly healthy thing to do, and I applaud you for that. Because it's so easy to stay in a situation that's not healthy for someone.
Yeah. Well, I think also because it was an issue that we had probably from the beginning of our relationship, and it was like, well, it's not getting better. Like you weren't addressing it at that point.
Right.
Yet.
Right. 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 Right.
And so it was like, well, then what can I do other than to walk away and.
And just to clarify, it wasn't like we didn't.
Oh no!
It wasn't anything like terrible. Like,
well, that's
what
I talked about. I think last time because you were like, "How could you have dated me or whatever?" And I'm like, "You were the exact same person you are now. You just drank for like anxiety reasons, but it wasn't like you were walking around drunk all the time.
Right, right, right.
Like it was not like you were that kind of an alcoholic.
Right, right, right.
By any means, there was some sort of anxiety or something you were, you know, self-medicating in some capacity, but it was like just. Beers over the night. It wasn't like there was no like hitting the bottom or like a like we had, you were still a great person.
Oh, come on.
That's what was so like hard about it where I would have probably never even engaged in the relationship in the first place.
Right, right, right.
But
we did, I remember we did, you know, but when you're doing comedy, especially when you're doing the comedy scene in Los Angeles, it's, you're in bars a lot.
All the time.
So the first handful of times we hung out, we're always in bars because we were doing shows.
Yeah.
And everything, and Jamie Kaler, our mutual friend who you had dated before, worked in a bar where there was a show.
Yeah.
So we hung out there a lot.
It was
definitely
always being in those. And it's late nights. It's all, you know, it's a totally different lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was interesting when I quit. I was like, how am I going to, is it going to be weird to do comedy? Because most comedy rooms, with the exception of UCB and now Meltdown, but most of them were bars with a stage.
Yeah.
Like even comedy clubs are basically
Yeah.
Bars with a stage.
It's to make money on alcohol.
That's right.
And then it's, you know.
A comic is just to take the art out of it, but you're distracting people while they buy alcohol and food.
Well, it's like a TV show. That's just the filler in between the advertisements.
That's right.
To make money.
Wait,
what's happening?
I don't understand.
But like, I drink or that kind of thing, but I was never a big drinker. You know what I mean? I think when you don't have an issue with it, it doesn't even strike me like, oh, I'm in bars, but that wouldn't mean I would have to drink. You know what I mean?
I'm sure I brought this up the last time you were on the podcast, but I still sometimes, in the middle of the night, like, have an anxiety moment about how you almost burned your face off blowing out your candles and your birthday cake.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, it was it was close to being devastating, and you managed to smack it out in time.
I smacked it out fast. I think we
maybe
talked about
it. You were leaning over the cake.
Leaning over my candle. I had those long candles.
Yeah.
It was my 30th birthday.
Yep.
And
of course. This is 30. Your face burns off with a candle.
Is that the new Judd Apatow? He's going backwards?
This is 30, your face burns off with a candle. That's the whole title. And Taylor Swift does the soundtrack. I'm 30 now. I'm not the same as I was. There's a 3 in front of my name in case you forgot. Ring, ring, ring. Hello, it's me. I'm 30 now. I'm not 29 anymore. Write it down.
Oh, God, it's just all gold. How does it feel to just everything be gold? Everything that
comes
out.
Wait a minute. It feels like you're being a little sarcastic.
First of all, you know me well enough to know I would never be sarcastic. I did almost burn my face off. I was blowing out the candles and my hair lit on fire and it just like went whoom up the side of my head.
The instant smell of burning
hair.
Oh,
yeah. I got it out luckily I knew what was happening and I like patted it out. And I think I talked about this. My brother, Ryan, his thought was to come around and luckily I got it out before he did this, was to shove my face. His instinct was to take the back of my head and shove it into the cake, which still had lit candles. So I'm like, why was that your instinct? And thank God I got it out before you got across the room, psycho. Yeah. I think I have a video. My Uncle Richard, I believe, has a video of it. Because he was videoing. It was my 30th birthday. So he was like videoing it, but it's like on VHS or something, you know, because it was like 72 years ago.
Write it down for your program.
Oh, the program.
I mean, that's a good, like, and someone thinks, maybe in the show, though, they actually get your face in the cake. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, but I would have to light my hair on fire.
It's
right next to my face.
Visual effects?
I got out of it once.
You feel like you don't want to dance too close to the literal fire.
Yeah, I feel like I got out once. I don't know what will happen.
Digital effects, you know, visual effects.
You know what I was thinking of the other day? Because it sounds like I'm just on unlimited vacations, but I legitimately didn't have a day off for 11 months. Uh-huh. So I just went to Hawaii. I went to Kauai.
Oh, great.
And I was thinking about you because I remembered that when we first started dating, I went to Kauai with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a fear of flying back then. We both did.
Yep.
And you told me that on Kauai, there are roosters everywhere.
There are chickens everywhere.
Chickens and roosters, and there are.
Yeah.
And you gave me this little chicken that, like, stuffed animal thing that was, like, little. And I think if you pressed it, it, like, went like, rawr, 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 like, you know, whatever. And I had that, and I would fly with it for, like, 8 years or, like, something. I had it,
That's
and I would carry
fantastic.
It with me. And I was just thinking about it because the roosters were, like, waking me up at, like, 5 in the morning.
Right.
And it hit me the other day. I was like, oh, my God. I remember Chris. He was like, you're going to love Kauai. Here's this rooster. And, like, bring it with you when you fly. And I used to keep it with me for years and years and years.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Now I have no idea what it is.
You don't need it anymore.
No, I don't.
It served its purpose.
It served its purpose, and it was delightful, and it made me think. I forgot about that, and I just remembered.
It was like a little safety chicken
or
something.
It was a little safety chicken.
Just to distract you from. Yeah, that's right. Well, because there are chickens all over Hawaii. There are wild chickens everywhere.
Everywhere.
Because, you know, I guess from various hurricanes that just blew. No one knew whose chicken was whose.
And then they made, like, an ordinance. Like, you can't hunt the chickens and you can't collect the chickens after this hurricane.
But it's very weird to see chickens in the wild, like, just up in trees. Just, like,
whole families of chickens, like, through, like, the parking lot. Just, like, baby chickens.
Wild chickens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a very sweet, touching story.
Yeah, that's the only sweet, touching story I have. The rest was hell.
You motivated me to quit drinking and change my life. I gave you a chicken.
Yeah.
So
we're even.
Totally evened out.
That's my point.
This is it. We figured we're even Steven.
Hey,
now.
You're welcome. I'm Joey Slammin'.
You're welcome. I'm sure you haven't seen Moana, but that's a
great Disney film.
Yes, it is.
I'm a great
great
fan of Disney films. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. What?
Well, why? You don't have to say it in such a weird way. It's a Disney film. I am a great fan of Disney films. You can just say yes. I'm Moana. You don't have to like make a whole speech about it.
Yeah, yeah. I need everyone's attention. Let it be known on this day, the 20-something
of August,
that
2017
in the order of new business, I, Christopher Ryan Hardwick, on November 23rd, 1971, the Kentucky, do as it falls, declare that Moana is a delight that I have seen. Let it be known that I've seen this
because
film.
Because it is a Disney film, and I am a fan.
I am a fan of both films and The Rock.
Okay.
I
is
enjoy.
He a nice person?
I don't know.
Do
I've never
him?
Met him.
Oh, I felt like that was one you did. He's so sweet.
He seems like a sweet guy.
He seems like a sweet guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never met him.
Moana, big in our home for a while.
And then she moved on? And
then you move on, yeah. Hamilton, very big right now.
Oh, man, we were supposed to go to the premiere of that in L.A., and Lydia got a really bad sinus infection and was down for the count. Oof. And then she
you
was like,
still go.
You know, I don't think I want to cough through a whole...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, I feel bad. I didn't want to go without her. You know,
no, I'm saying you can go now.
Oh, I can go
not
now.
Not without. I'm like, there's
nope,
still...
Nope, that was it.
It's going to be here till December. I'm going in.
Know.
I'm going in September.
I don't believe it.
Okay. Pixar. Also, again, and this is a big break, saw it in New York, original cast.
Oh.
Again.
Wow.
Not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Lin-Manuel Miranda. He was there.
Oh, are you friends with him?
Lenny?
Yeah. Lenny?
That's what he goes by.
I don't know if that's true.
Lenny.
Okay.
Lenny M.
I don't know if he goes by Lenny M.
Lenny M squared.
He does not go by Lenny M squared.
He does.
I've never heard this before.
It's only his very, very close friends.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And family.
Oh, okay. Great. And when you were hanging out with Lin-Manuel Miranda, where were you
Lenny
hanging out?
New York.
At the dog park. Oh, I said dog park already.
Oh, I missed it.
I fucked it up too. I fucked it up too. Because I said dog park again.
Oh, that was mine.
Was the best
no, you said dog park. I said, yeah. What, we literally
you said toy
can,
store.
I did say toy store, yeah.
Yeah.
We can... this is the problem is the bit is a thing, but somehow we always fuck it up now when we try
can
to do
never
it.
Never recapture the magic. Once it's over, it's over.
What are your current karaoke songs that you like to rock out?
Because
you
not,
are a big karaoke.
No, I haven't been to a karaoke place in years. Years.
Really?
Years. Yeah.
You made us go a lot.
Let's calm down about it.
No, I enjoyed it, but you are a big karaoke, and you
I
have
love
a very
karaoke.
You have a very good voice, and we're real braggy about it.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, he would go, and he was one of those people that had his four or five songs that he knew he could bring them.
Well, Andrew Savage has been a great guest on the podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I see we're out of time. I understand that you need to get to Italia. So,
Italia.
Yeah. I was a karaoke rat. I had my four songs.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I think when I, that was like 2003, 2004. But when I went on the road to do stand up,
yeah,
that sort of took all of that needing to be up on stage energy, and I just didn't really do it anymore. And the group that I used to go with, sort of like everyone had kids and they all went off, and it just sort of disbanded.
Yeah,
it was the Moon Zappa Nina Gordon group who were great karaoke people.
By the way, Nina Gordon's son is in the same class as
what?
My
mother. What? Mm-hmm. She is a delight. And I'm going to say it again because she is a delight.
She is a delight. And we put it together because we both were like, God, you look so familiar. You look so familiar. But we didn't know why for like a year. And then she came up to me when she was like, used to date Chris. And like she put it together.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, nice, nice.
So
karaoke group.
Mm-hmm.
Again. We're all gonna go. Does your husband like karaoke?
He does too. I mean, he not a good voice. Not great at all. He does one song. I've seen it now quite a few times. Again,
is it? It's not Baby Got Back, is it?
No, but it's in the line of it's Copacabana.
Okay, all right. Okay, you know what? That's fine. You know, Copacabana, Sweet Caroline. You know, like these. But you know, it could be worse.
Oh, it could definitely be worse.
Yeah.
He does a whole dance and stuff that he sort of... He, like, worked in a hotel when he was, like, 21 in Saipan. Okay. And they would do a talent show, evidently.
Mm-hmm.
And this was part of it.
Was doing Copacabana?
Yeah.
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 You say it like,
yeah.
But I married him anyway.
Anyway. By the way, yeah, I did. Yeah. I feel like I have a lot of those with him. Like, yeah, it still's worked out, but...
But I think that's a keto-healthy relationship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is, it is.
Yeah, 100%.
Hey, listen. Neither one of us are perfect.
By the way, I'll tell you right now, he likes popcorn jelly bellies. Buttered popcorn jelly bellies.
What?
Yeah.
What's that?
What?
Oh, buttered popcorn jelly bellies. Oh, like the flavor of butter. I was thinking of like, I don't know why I was thinking of gummy bears dipped in popcorn butter or something. But he likes... popcorn flavored jelly bellies.
The ones that literally I'm like, that's like the shit that jelly bellies have at the end of making the good flavors, and then they just save it and put it into buttered popcorn, and they're just we like, fuck you if you buy this.
Yeah. By the time you get to the bottom of a box, they're just going, fuck you.
This is, it's like they're Bean Boozled, but before they were Bean Boozled.
You couldn't make another strawberry one?
No.
Nope.
This is just, it's like the refuse of all the other ones. Get thrown into that, and that's the one my husband, like, beelines for.
This is all the toxicity.
Yeah.
Do you watch Rick and Morty at all?
A little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not, I don't watch a ton of TV in general, and then this year I've been not really watching anything other than Game of Thrones, really, is the only thing I've watched.
I'm behind on that. I enjoy it, but I'm just behind on it.
You don't have to apologize to me.
I don't think I was...
Apologize to David Benioff.
I'm sorry, David.
I'm sorry,
I haven't been current on your show.
Yeah, on your program.
But it does... I mean, I know the show's great. I loved it when I did watch it, but I just... there are some days, especially like the last couple of years where everything's been so crazy where I just... I need to watch Rick and Morty. Like, I can't just get super invested in a, you know.
I agree. I feel like, especially when I'm working crazy, like this past year, when I do sit and watch TV, I end up watching like Project Runway.
Right.
Or something just where I'm sort of half on my iPad, sort of watching.
Well, also so much of like, because of the after shows, like Walking Dead, Better Call Saul.
Well, yeah, you've got
all these shows. Like I feel like. I only have room in my life for like a couple of those.
Yeah.
Preacher's great though. If you, I don't know if you've watched it, but
I
it's fucking fantastic. But I think there's just not enough room in my brain to take on Game of Thrones.
And that's one where you have to focus.
You have to pause
and go like, wait a minute, who was that again?
Yeah.
That was the dad from like seven seasons ago that gave away the blah, blah, blah because he thought he
which
was
Which dragon
gay.
Was that again? Which dragon was
which
that?
Which dragon? Is that the same dragon?
Is that the
How
dragon?
How do I know it's three dragons?
I don't even know. I've never seen, maybe there's a bunch of dragons.
I haven't seen them all in the same room.
I don't, the same room, just hanging out.
Yeah. We don't know. It could be one dragon. They're just making it seem like it's three.
Do you have content restrictions for your daughter? Would you let her watch Game of Thrones?
God, no.
Okay.
Yes.
I feel like when we have kids, I'm going to let them watch whatever they want.
No. Then you should have them taken away.
But my...
then don't have that. I feel like this is very simple.
Well, not like porn, but I mean like, my parents let me watch... Well, they pretty much let me watch any comedy thing.
Didn't you also have a TV in your bedroom?
Well, you know.
I feel like I remember this and being like, ugh,
maybe
annoying.
I did.
Because all I ever wanted was a TV in my room growing up. My parents were like, no fucking way. But you were like, only child with a TV in your room.
So check this out. Lydia's out of town at the moment, and we have a TV in our bedroom now.
Oh. Well.
And because when I was a kid, Twilight Zone was on late at night.
Yeah.
And in syndication. And so when I put on Twilight Zone, I immediately get relaxed. Because I watched it every night when I was a little kid.
I am talking Tina.
I don't like you. That's very good. Are you doing more voiceover work?
No.
Well, that was good.
Oh, thank you.
Take a compliment.
I figured this was an audition, right?
Yep, it is.
This has all been leading up for that audition.
First of all, you were great. We are going in another direction.
Fine. Fair. Please keep me in mind if anything else comes up.
I always love I'm that available. Feedback. We're going another direction. What does that mean? It means we're not hiring.
We're not hiring you.
We're going in a direction away from you.
We're going with we're going another direction. We're going with someone who's white with brown hair, sort of like 5'9".
But
it's a totally different direction.
Well, that's
sort
the same
of a dry
direction.
Sense of humor, but with like a positive energy behind it.
I mean, this is literally
somewhat
the same
nerdy.
Direction.
Like grew
I
up.
I can't believe how much
has a mother named
direction.
Sharon Lee.
So it's just
not
me.
The Osama bin Laden, but the other Sharon Lee.
Michael Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, Michael Osama bin Laden. But it's just no. It's a totally different direction.
But that's me.
No. You see yourself different than we
I
see
don't.
You.
But I can on paper I can prove
the character's
that all
name
of these
is Christopher Ryan Hardwick.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I feel like those are always the roles I never get. Where
the
it's
ones
literally
are
like exactly me.
You never want your agent to say you're perfect for this one. You go kiss of death.
I always say that to my husband because I'll make him read lines with me, and then he'll read it with me. He goes, "You're getting this one." And I was like, "Okay, well,
don't
now
you fucking
just,
ruined
so now
this.
Why do I even go in?"
Now, what would you do if he was like, "Oh, you're not going to get this"?
Then those are the ones I usually get.
Really? That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then I go eat another buttered popcorn jelly belly, asshole. Yeah.
In your Copacabana fantasy.
Yeah.
You and I are divorced in my mind. I'm living great.
Oh, he knows all about my divorcee fantasy. He's like, I don't love that. And I'm like, I get it. I get where that's not appealing.
Now, in your divorcee fantasy, are you like, uh-huh. are you like going to the grocery store and like bright red lipstick and a beehive hairdo and like big press on nails?
Why would that? Be
I don't
something?
Know. I just didn't know if that was a part of the. There was an aesthetic part to the fantasy.
Is that what you think of divorcee?
Like a been caught stealing video? Like
no, I think I'm just sort of like a woman. I talk about this much, but like a woman who's like just not afraid to like live her life.
Love songs on the coast.
And I say like a woman. This is my thing. Like a woman who's not afraid to storm into a small bank and demand a small business loan. You know what I mean? Or like, not afraid to wear, be the first lady in a Midwest town to wear pants. Like, just sort of like living on her own terms. If a man's there, great. But I'm rouging my cheeks for myself.
I suspect that this fantasy, you don't actually want to open a small business.
No,
you just
I just want a
small business
loan.
How much you need? 60 grand. I just need 60 grand.
Tops to box, 60 grand. I don't know. It's just sort of this weird, like, where there's a mystique about it. Like, oh, she's a divorcee.
No, but I feel like if you did achieve that, don't you think you'd just be bummed?
Oh, the reality of it? Like, only seeing my child 3 days a week, not being with my husband, whom I love? Yeah, having to date the animals that are actually still out there who aren't married?
Can I have a small business loan, please?
Because I can't afford to actually pay my rent.
I just need $60,000. I just need $60,000.
I'll suck your dick. Wait, what? Yeah, so. Oh, God. Chris is down.
It was the. Oh,
no. He can't breathe. Get an inhaler.
Oh, Savage. Oh, God damn it. You're a fucking delight.
We have fun.
We do have fun. Well, I hope we get to hang out when you come back from Italy. When you're here, your family. Oh, no, that's Olive Garden.
But Olive Garden, isn't that just a taste of Italy?
I hope not.
I have not been there.
I don't think so.
Maybe I've been there. I've probably been there at some point in my life.
You know, it's tasty in a processed American food kind of way.
I feel like if I lived in a place where like there weren't a lot, I mean, in LA, there's so many choices, but if your choices were limited.
Yeah. There's a lot of choices. There's the Olive Garden in Burbank. There's the Olive Garden in Culver City. Right. There's the Olive Garden. Yeah. But you're going to actual Olive Garden.
I am going to the actual Olive Garden of life.
Yeah. So I hope you have fun at the wedding.
Thank you.
Have you thought about if they say, does anyone here protest, think that this couple should not? Have you thought of a bit?
I will
to
shut
do?
It down.
Okay, good.
It's not a bit.
It's not, you just don't
These
want
to. These people
this
are not going
to. You're going to Italy to make sure
They're
that
very
this.
Happy. Union I have,
not.
By the way, been to a destination wedding where all of us knew this marriage would not last, but we all went all the way to Edinburgh. because they were planning a very fancy wedding and it was very cool.
Right.
It was like in the chapel from like the back of like the end of Da Vinci Code and like in like the Balmoral Castle and all the stuff. So we all were like, let's go. We're all friends with these people, but we're like, they have a terrible relationship and should not be getting married.
On the other hand, bagpipes in the wedding, probably.
Tons of bagpipes, haggis, mm-hmm. a haggis carving ceremony.
Yeah.
It was very cool. It was a great weekend. They did not last maybe a year.
Okay, well, but you got to go to Edinburgh.
We got to go to a beautiful trip to Edinburgh. This this marriage, I think, is solid. This one, I think, is going to go the distance.
This one's going to go. It'd be kind of fun if people had, like, divorce, like, destination divorces. They're like, hey, we're going to get divorced.
Oh, God, you're really feeding that divorcee fantasy.
Let's all go to France. And
do you go with the spouse you're leaving?
I feel like you do.
Like,
I
this
feel
is like our last hurrah.
You stand there, and then an officiator says, do you untake this man to be... Uh-huh. I do.
And then you throw your rings at each other.
You throw your rings at each other. Someone throws a bouquet back at you.
Yeah.
Everything happens in reverse.
And then you backwards kiss, and you actually suck the life of each other out like a Dementor.
You get your life back. You suck your life back.
You suck your life back into your body.
Yeah, that's
Guys,
right.
This sounds... great.
Yeah. And then maybe you cast a Patronus or two.
Or two.
Does your daughter have a Patronus? What's her Patronus?
Yes, her Patronus, I want to say, Bunny.
Okay.
Which I think is Hermione's. I don't remember. Maybe it was a dolphin. I don't know. It was something that I was like, that's a Patronus?
Two very different animals.
I know. I feel like it was one where I was like, this seems...
You know dolphins, the bunnies of the sea, they call them.
No, they don't.
You know rabbits, the dolphins of the forest, they call them.
You know where I'm hoping to go for my next birthday?
No.
I was trying to get us to do the...
Oh, shit!
God, I was trying to give you the eye, like,
okay,
here
okay,
we
okay.
go. Well, we can't do
where
it.
Where are we going? Hogsmeade.
Fox isn't even a thing, I said.
We're going
Fox.
To Fox going to Studios Fox. On Pico. Yeah. So go to 20th Century Fox on Pico.
Fox, just missed it. Why can we not? Okay, should we try to end on one? Just try to get one.
Okay. So anyway, ask us where we're going after this podcast.
Where are you guys going after this?
The aquarium.
Wait, no, I wasn't ready.
Wait, what? God damn it.
I thought I saw a blank.
What the fuck?
I do improv. This is...
Not now, you
horror. No, suddenly what? I just like immediately like a fear came over me. All right, here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Where are you guys going after this?
Best Buy. They're going to get the best buy at the Rug Factory.
Bye.
Enjoy your burrito. Nice try, though. Oh, we should probably, by the way, mention that I'm Sorry is available.
Yeah, and it will be, I think the series finale will be right after this.
The finale?
Season finale.
The season finale.
Oh, God. I just canceled my own show.
Don't do that. They just gave you another season.
Wednesdays, 10 p.m. on True TV.
On True TV.
And you can also go to True TV's app and watch it that way. On demand, you can watch it.
I demand to see this program.
Oh, boy. I was going to say there's explicit version because we swear a lot on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's explicit on demand, and all of that
language.
Stuff. Yeah. Just the language. Cause, we can say everything on the actual show except fuck and cunt.
those are the two you can't say.
And those, but on, if you watch it in the explicit on demand, I believe.
Do you let your daughter swear?
She has no interest. My daughter is such a goody goody that literally, she was in preschool and other kids would be saying stuff about poop. She'd be like, Mommy, that's potty language.
Wow.
And I would be like, yeah, it's okay. So then I found myself trying to loosen her up. And so now I'm always
I'm
pooping and I'm farting and here we poop. And she's like, Mommy, that is potty language. Like, she gets really Queen Victoria'd on me.
Sweetheart, how's your fucking cereal? Is it...
I don't swear a lot in front of her. I do not. I don't think. Yeah.
But I feel like... kids pick up on...
She hears it like Hamilton. She'll be like, this song has four bad words.
Mm-hmm.
But she has no interest in saying them.
Okay.
And if I say like, well, what... Or she'll say someone said a bad word and I'm like, well, what? And she's like, with an S. You know, like very...
Does she mean like shit or like fucks?
I'll ask her. Okay. You mean shit or fucks?
Get up.
Hey, shitter fucks. She's going to one day be able to Google, and because she's obsessed with me and thinks the world just like sun rises and falls. She's
so
going to
think.
No, she does. She does. And then one day she's going to Google me and my career. And
my
be like,
mother is
my
trashy.
Disgusting.
What did she do? Yeah. I'm so ashamed. What is this? And it'll be like the reverse. Yeah. Where did you learn this?
Oh, it's such a reverse. Yeah. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
I hope to all see right. you soon.
Thank
I hope you.
You
have a safe trip to Italy. And yeah, that's it.
All right.
The end.
The end.
Let's dismount this high horse that I've been on the entire time.
Again, that is not a horse, Chris.
What is it?
Gotta go.
All right. Gotta take care of that butt period.
Yeah. Guys, it's a heavier flow than I expected. All right. Hey, gotta
okay.
go. Okay, gotta go.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest. And they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.